Welcome back to the program after another very full week in the Vatican.
Exactly. You know, when I sit in the studio to record this, it seems like minutes ago I was here talking about the preceding week, and another week has gone by. A busy weekend for the Holy Father, early part of the week. Tuesdays are usually quiet in the Vatican. The Holy Father is preparing the Wednesday audience. There's many other things he works on. He doesn't always have as many audiences ad limina, visits of bishops or something else. But except for Tuesday, the rest of the week is usually pretty busy. I think a look back at Sunday was very interesting for a number of reasons. The Holy Father always comes out, you know, his appearance is like 20 minutes long, and he comes to his window to pray the Angelus with the huge crowds, typically huge crowds. This is January, not a big time for tourists and everything else, but I mean, there were like 40 or 50,000 people there this past Sunday. But the Holy Father comes out, he'll have reflections usually on the gospel of the day, and then he and the faithful will pray the Angelus, after which he makes reflections on other matters that are more or less dear to his heart. And actually, last Sunday, anybody who walked by St. Peter's Saturday probably wondered what the heck was going on. They were constructing kind of a very big stage, which they do the last Sunday of every January, because the youth Italian Catholic Action come. And they have been, you know, the whole month of January for them is the month dedicated to peace. And so two of the young children, usually a young girl and a young boy, join the Holy Father at his window, and they release two doves as a symbol of peace. Usually one of the two reads a little statement, the Holy Father reads a statement, and they release the doves. And what was really cute, when they released the doves, and any of us who have seen it in person or on tape know that in the past, with John Paul and with Benedict, one, sometimes two, of the doves would come back in the window. And so Benedict got a few laughs on Sunday because, just in off-the-cuff remarks, when the doves actually flew out of his window and stayed outside, the Pope said, well, this time it went well. Sometimes they come back. And then just one more thing at the Sunday Angelus, the Pope did mention that this past Sunday was the World Day of Leprosy Sufferers. This was started 55 years ago by a person named Raoul Follero, and the Pope sent his greetings, obviously, to all those who might suffer from this and to those who take care of them as well.
Then we go on to Monday, which was a big day.
It was
a very important speech.
Exactly. The Pope met participants in a conference organized by the Académie des Sciences de Paris, the Paris Science Academy, and by the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. And the basic premise of his talk to them was that man, not science, must be the criterion of good. He said, while exact sciences have made prodigious progress, obviously, in their understanding of man and the universe, there's a strong temptation, and this is so interesting, to enclose human identity within the knowledge one can have of it. In other words, within that physical knowledge of science, things that can be proved to us. And he said, however, there must also be anthropological, philosophical, and theological research which highlight and maintain the mystery of human beings. And he said, human beings always stand beyond what can be scientifically seen or perceived. And man is a being created by God in the image of God, who is loved and made to love. He's not the result of mere chance, of converging circumstances of determinism. And man enjoys a freedom which transcends his nature. So very, very important words, a speech that had to be read slowly for some of the remarkable statements that the Pope made. But I think we all knew anyway that man and not science, again, must be the object of good.
This speech had quite a lot of echo in the newspapers.
It did. The Pope talking about faith and reason, which we're going to see a little later, reason, faith, and science, his remarks on those subjects usually do gather a lot of attention. Where science is involved, obviously, from the scientific community, and when it's faith and reason, you've got your theologians very much involved in that. So now Tuesday, we said, was our normally quiet days, and there was not a direct papal event, should we say, or audience on Tuesday, but the Pope did send a telegram to Seraphim, the Metropolitan of Karistia and Skiros, for the death of his Beatitude Christodoulos. He's the Orthodox Archbishop of Athens in all Greece, and he died Monday at his home in Athens after a long battle, 7-8 months with cancer. And he was a man who had tried to do a great deal. He was young, too. He was only 69. Beloved by many, many people in Greece and elsewhere. And he tried to do a great deal to prod the ecumenical movement along from the point of view of Catholic Orthodox relations. And so in his telegram, Pope Benedict recognized the Archbishop's work. And of course, he said, naturally, he hoped that, he didn't say these words, but, you know, he hoped that the Holy Spirit would come down and help them choose a successor, which I understand the Greek Orthodox will do on February 7th. So, and of course, obviously, the Vatican sent a delegation to his funeral, which was on Thursday. And then also Tuesday in the Vatican, again, not directly related, not a papal audience, but related to the Pope, you had the Cardinal Cordes, president of the Pontifical Council Quorum, presenting the Pope's Lenten message to the press. And interestingly enough, this office, Quorum, is often called the Pope's charity arm. Many, many monies that do come into the Vatican, they are responsible for getting out to those people or groups that need it in the case of a flood or like Katrina or disasters in Africa and elsewhere. And the Lenten message focuses on the importance of almsgiving, the fact that we who can should give to take care of our brothers and sisters who need it, and we should do it not for the glory of ourselves, but for the glory of God. And it's almost like, you know, the right hand shouldn't know what the left hand is doing.
What is the theme of this message?
The theme is, of course, Christ made himself poor for you. And he was. I mean, Christ was not born into the higher strata of society at the time he lived 2,000 years ago. He was born poor. He died poor. He lived without really material possessions. Well, that's what he told his apostles to do when he told them to go out and evangelize and preach the gospel. And they were not to bring anything with them, but simply to go into people's homes and be welcomed. And it is very interesting how, again, the Pope stresses our trying to help our brothers and sisters, not doing it for our own glory. Hey, look what I did, or look how much I gave, or am I going to get a reward for doing this, or a plaque with my name on it? So that is not the important part of it. But what I thought was interesting, I think it was in answer to a question that he was asked, Cardinal Cordes talked about the fact of there are many aid agencies throughout the entire world. There's some associated with the UN on an international level. There's national and then there's local aid agencies. And he said the devastating thing with so many of these agencies, if you actually get to know them and watch them work, is how much of the money that comes in to them as donations. You and I send a check to ABC organization to, you know, help the poorer or the devastated someplace. And we don't know that maybe 80% of the money in that particular organization is for administrative expenses. So you send $100, 80 is going to go to pay people's salaries or something else, and only 20 will get to the people. And in light of that comment, what the cardinal underlined was the fact how the church agencies, be it Quorum and be it Catholic Charities, whatever, how very little of their money goes to administrative expenses. And he gave some percentages, and I know it was something like the Knights of Malta, only 7% are for administrative, so 93% goes to actually helping people. And he chose some other organizations, which just don't come to the top of my head right now. But I thought that was a very interesting thing. And he said, the reason I'm even mentioning this, he said, is because people might want to rethink their giving. And he said, oh, I think this is fascinating. When there are these huge media promotions of XYZ agency after a huge disaster has happened, he said they shouldn't only say send your money to the, you know, Red Cross or whatever, or to Quorum. They should also publicize exactly how that organization uses its money. So if you want to give $100 to somebody and you see that this international agency uses 70% for administration and Quorum uses 5, well, I guess you know where you're going to send your money, whether you're Catholic or not, because you don't care about that. You care about the money getting to the victims.
Exactly.
Yeah. So an important message this week. We didn't talk too much about the content of the message, but I think that that's something. It's online.
It's,
yeah,
it's online.
It's online, and it's in 10 languages. So people can go to the Vatican website, and there's a little icon, and it says Lenten Message 2008. So you'll get to see it in your own language, and there's Dutch and a few others thrown into the normal ones.
Going on to Wednesday.
The Wednesday audience, one of the few times that I've ever actually attended one. You know, we're always working, so we don't get to attend those affairs. But the Holy Father did return after talking previous week about Christian unity. He returned to his theme of St. Augustine of Hippo. And it was a lengthy, interesting catechesis on Augustine, how he approached faith and reason. And the Pope chose one particular phrase of his on this question. And he said, Augustine was a passionate believer who recognized the importance of bringing together faith and reason. And it was he who taught that we should believe in order to understand and understand in order to believe. And time in a show like this, of course, does not allow us to go into something like this in greater depth. But again, this is something on the Vatican website that there are summaries of in various other languages if someone really wants to pursue it. And it was wonderful to attend the audience yesterday because the Christmas decorations were still up. But I don't know if our listeners know that for the Vatican, the Christmas season really kind of ends from the point of view of nativity scenes being up and trees and so forth on the feast, February 2nd, on the Feast of the Presentation. That's when the nativity scene will come down and, you know, in they're working to take it down in St. Peter's Square and
so
forth. So
it should be down by the beginning of Lent.
Just a couple days away, right. Is February 6th. So, and then I think our time, of course, is running out, but I think one other thing I'd like to mention that happened this week was the Pope named a coadjutor bishop in Hong Kong. Now, why is that important? He's naming bishops and so forth all the time. First of all, coadjutor, our listeners should know, means he automatically succeeds the bishop or archbishop when that person retires. And in this case, that is very important. We are talking about China. That is very near and dear to the Pope's heart, to the heart of the Vatican. I know very much they would like to reestablish, under all the right conditions, reestablish diplomatic ties with China. Those were broken in 1951. So the naming of a bishop who's going to be very much a champion, as Cardinal Zen now is. You need a champion of religious freedom. Cardinal Zen has been espousing that for years. Interestingly enough, I discovered that the now Bishop of Hong Kong, Cardinal Zen, and obviously the new coadjutor, if I didn't say his name, it's Bishop John Tong Han, both of them were ordained bishops on the same day. So, interesting. But again, this is gives one a good feeling. If you look at Bishop Tong's background, it gives you a good feeling of a man who's been at the Cardinal's right-hand man, right side. He will be there. He's going to be a champion of religious freedom as well.
On that note, Joan, I think our time is really up. So
God bless.
Bye-bye.